have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Open your mouth and say something. Oh, my God. I think my producer remembered she had me pumped up with that last week, so she threw it on again this week, and I'm happy. I'm excited about it. Welcome to For His Glory. I'm your co-host, Apostle Brian Blassingame. I'm here along, of course, with the Lord, my awesome host and producer, Timmy Kim. And tonight we have a special guest. I've known this brother for a while now. I refer to him as Big Brother. He has his own platform, Men on the Front Line, that he does every Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. He's had me and several of my other good brothers and friends on several different times. He also has other things going on in the ministry. He also has a dynamic, awesome wife who's also in the ministry, and Sheely. His name is Apostle Charles Sheely Jr., and we're excited to have him here to share with us on tonight. He started a particular message on last Wednesday, and it struck me to invite him and have him go, I guess, into what he started, or let him go in depth, or whatever it was, a little bit farther to whatever God had laid on his heart. But there's a much need for the word that he's going to bring tonight. I'm gonna bring him on right now. I'm just gonna get out the way and let him do what God has called him to do, and let him fill you in on the other things that he and his wife got going on. I believe they have another ministry that they do on Facebook on Monday nights as well. But to some of you I introduce, and to others I present to you, this awesome, highly anointed man of God, Apostle Charles Sheely Jr. We're happy to have you here with us tonight, man of God.
Amen. God bless you, man of God. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. God bless you. You're on. You sound good.
All right. All right. I got me an audience applauding, man. First, man, I want to say, before I get into all the formalities, man, that music had me rocking in my chair over here in my office, man. I was about to cut a step up here, man. I was rocking and rolling my head. Hey, man, that was some exciting music. I bless God for your producer who put that music up, man. Hey, man, God bless her. Hey, man, God bless you, man. God, is good to be on your platform with you tonight. Hey, man, we give God all praise. We give him all glory.
Amen.
I don't have much to say about me. I'm just mighty proud to be called man of God. That's it right there. I'm just mighty proud to be called man of God. You know, and thank you for the plug with my wife, and our Marriage Mondays come on Mondays, Facebook, when the Lord lays it on our heart to get on there and do that, and all the things that you gave me, you know, privy and props to, man. I give thanks to God for you, man. You've been what the doctor ordered in my life, man, as far as a true friend, true man of God, that I can call and talk to, and when I step out of line when we're talking, you push me back where I'm supposed to be, and vice versa. So it's always good to have someone to talk to. Hey, man, so we're gonna dive right in there, if that's all right with you, man of God. I'm just going to do it for about 30 minutes, and I'm going to hand it back to you.
Man, take as long as you like. We got an hour.
We got an hour? Oh, man, you should have told me that. Let me get my spit rag ready.
Good. Yeah, let him hey, use it, bro.
Hey, man of God, it's good to be here, and to your listeners and those that are out there in the radio land. We just wanted to sit here and talk to you today about singleness being a gift from God. It is a gift from God. That's what I was talking about on Wednesday night, because in my introduction, I spoke about that I believe that the church has adopted the culture of the world where it comes down to this singleness and versus marriage issue. If you note that since we were young, my earliest remembrances have been about trying to hook up with somebody. You know, that's the way society kind of teaches us. Everybody needs somebody. Everybody got to be with somebody. And we teach that, and we push that and so much into our young people ears until I think that leadership should take the blame or some of it in the church, because we don't teach our young single men and women that it's okay to be single. You don't have to be linked up with no one. You don't have to have the husband or the wife and two kids and the white picket fence and a house and a two-car garage, you know what I mean, a dog and a cat. That's that American dream that's been shoved on us down our throat ever since we were young. Girls have had vivid dreams about the Ken and Barbie and all those things that marriage is supposed to bring, until sometimes now, man, when we look at these youngins in marriage, they are messing it up. And one of the things that really grabs me now when I see it, it hurts my heart, it pulls on my heartstring, that, you know, there are a lot of young ladies, and I'm just not going to pick on the ladies. I'm coming at you men too. But a lot of young ladies are infatuated with the infatuation of what a relationship is and have not even took a look at that that's not what they have. They are infatuated with that dream that was always put on them, you know, that a man is a provider, a man is this and a man is that, and a man is supposed to be all of this and that. But nowadays, these young ladies out here now, Apostle, they are calling men kings, and the kings don't even have jobs. They're calling men kings, and kings can't even provide. They're calling men kings and all this stuff, and it's all predicated what he does in the bedroom. And then one day she wakes up and find out that what's going on in that bedroom ain't really sustaining her, ain't really giving her no real substance, nothing really tangible to hold on to. And so I believe that we have messed it up a great deal in the body of Christ, because we don't really teach it that it's okay to be single. It's a blessing from God. Let me look at the value system here for a minute. Marriage versus singleness. They both are gifts. It's a gift to be able to be married, and it's a gift to be able to be single. First of all, a lot of people, Apostle, believe it or not, they got the gifts mixed up. Some people that are married that should be single, and some people are single that should be married, you know, because, marriage brings us into the oneness, man. It brings us into that oneness that the Bible talks about. But one thing that we don't give enough credit to is that men are from Mars and women are from Venus. You know, our makeup is different. What men like versus what women like are different. How we carry ourselves, our anatomy, everything speaks to difference. And so now we have to come together and bring all of these differences under one roof and make them happen. And a lot of people are not built for marriage. You're too mean to be married. You're too grouchy to be married. Some men think that you're too bossy to be married. And so and what that happens, God, help me teach it, because what happens is that what we do is we negate the singleness process. You know, we hop right out of one thing into another, right out of one thing into another. And I always say this concerning men and singleness, is that when we get ready to move off into marriage, most men are not, if we be honest, are not ready. We don't. Most men don't even know what they are vowing to. They're not ready. I've seen guys who have struggled to feed themselves, have a hard time putting food in front of themselves. And nowadays, y'all know how it is. Gotta just be honest and be real. Most people you meet nowadays, they come with kids. they come with baggage, you know. And I'm not trying to talk, you know, down about kids as comparing them to baggage. But you understand my point. They come, yes. And if you were struggling as a man to feed yourself, then how much more are you going to struggle to feed four more miles? So we don't really be prepared, because no one really teaches us how to walk in singleness. And first of all, it is a gift. You know, it is good to be married. and it is better to be single. And let me explain that. It's good to be married. It's a good thing. Because God looked at marriage. He looked at Adam when he said, it is not good for man to be alone. You understand? So it is good to be married, but it is better to be single. So now when I talk about singleness, I'm a man of God. So I'm bringing you to the word. I'm bringing you to the plumb line of where we're supposed to be standing single. When you are single, you might as well say, God help me teach it, you might as well say you're married to God. See,
exactly.
That's the missing ingredient. We don't understand that when we're single, we are in a relationship. We are really in a relationship, but our relationship is with God. So it is better to be single, and it is good to be married. Your interests, when you're married, your interests are divided. You're divided. See, when married people got to think about what I'm going to cook tonight, you know, all those responsibilities, you know, the light bill due, and, you know, I'm going to need to do this, I'm going to need to do that, I got to wash some clothes. Married people are going through a whole gamut of stuff. We got the kids, you got to take the boy to soccer practice, we got to get the girl off to basketball. It's a lot to consider because your interests are now divided. But the benefit of being single is your interests are not divided. They're undivided. You don't have to answer them. If you're talking to yourself while you're single, you know what I mean? Because a lot of people do that. That's where you're supposed to be. See, when you by yourself, when I was by myself, Apostle, when I got ready to go to Red Lobster, it wasn't no fussing. It wasn't no arguing. I don't feel like seafood. I want Italian tonight. I didn't argue with myself like that. If I wanted to go to Red Lobster, that's where I went. So my attention, my interest was not undivided. When you single, you can throw your clothes on the floor for 5 days. And you can tell yourself every time you walk by the pile, that pile's getting bigger. I need to do something with it. But I can't do that now that I'm married because Sister Shirley ain't having that. You know what I'm saying? It's a true fact about men. Hey, come on, brothers, be honest with me tonight. Don't leave me out here by myself. It's a true fact you about men. When we single, man, we will sniff up under our arms and say, yeah, I know it's been 2 days, but I think I can go one more day. I can go one more day without a shower, you know. If I try that now, Sister C, if you don't get your nasty behind, you know. So there is an undivided interest that comes with being, amen, single. When you're married, your focus is different. When you're married, your focus is different, man. I got a whole lot that I have to be concerned about. I got to worry about whether, you know, the children got home or how things went in school. I got to worry about how me and the wife going to interact when I get home. I got things that are on my mind. So my focus is not where it's supposed to be all the time. You know what I mean? But when you are married to God, your affairs are the Lord's affairs. You should be thinking right about him all the time. You don't have all of the worries and the cares that most married folk have. All right. So I'm trying to give it to us real good tonight. So there are struggles. There are many troubles that come in marriage. There's a lot of troubles that folk don't tell you. It's not all, you know, Harlequin novels. It's not all two people running through a potpourri field and they getting ready to embrace each other and kisses and you hear birds chirping and bees humming and violins playing. That's TV marriage. That's TV marriage. But what they don't tell you is, if we don't get this singleness right, then what we'll do is bring a whole bunch of junk into marriage. So they don't prepare us, Apostle, for them days when I just don't like you. But I'm not feeling you on today. But when you learn how to love God, you know, then it brings us to another level of humility. When we learn need, if we do it right in our singleness. Amen. And so I just wanted to talk about that a little bit tonight, brother, because we mess it up big time. Now, I want to say this to you. To you single men and women that are listening to me, men and women of God that's listening to me, you are not incomplete. You are not a half. You're not a half waiting for your other half to appear. Singleness is not a punishment for doing something wrong, and a relationship is not a reward for doing something right. Actually, being single can be one of your greatest blessings if you learn how to treat it right. In other words, perception is everything. Perception is everything. A lot of people get these two words mixed up. It's a big difference in being single and being lonely. See, there are a lot of lonely people, and the reason why they make the moves they make is based out of loneliness. They're just lonely. So you know, loneliness will pull you in the ways and the places that you have no business going. Paul said it like this in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, I believe it's verse 1, but Paul says it like this, that it is better for a man not to even touch a woman. See, and that word touch comes from the Greek word, which means intimacy. Intimacy. And see, we don't give enough credit for, because I teach it like this, Apostle, that something magical happens when flesh meets flesh. it's just what it is. God created it. And so you can think you being innocent, you and old boy gonna walk the mall, y'all gonna, you know, hang out tonight, y'all gonna do the movies, you gonna walk the mall or whatever. And you're holding hands on each other and with each other, and then your mind takes off. Your mind takes off because now, if you ain't thinking about anything, you're thinking about, man, these hands are real soft. I ain't had a soft hand in my hand in a long time. You start thinking, man, what did he do? He worked construction? He got strong hands. You start going into places. Paul said it's better not. See, a lot of people think that intimacy only happens in the bedroom, Apostle. They only think that intimacy only happens, that stuff that happens before sex. You understand? But intimacy happens if my wife is washing dishes and I just ease up behind her, you know what I mean, and wrap my arms around and put my hand in the water. Well, that's intimacy. You know, holding hands is intimacy. Some conversations that you up 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning having conversation, you ought not be having because it's moving you into an area of intimacy. I just had this talk with my daughter, who said that she is has her BFF, you know, her best friend forever. I think that's what it means. Is a man, and you know, she's talking about, well, Dad, he don't want nothing from me. He don't. You know, we best friends. He don't even look at me like that. And my wife hopped right in. She said, "Ain't no man talking to you." All night long for nothing, you know. And I had to let her know. I had to put her on the game. I had to let her know. Men will walk around the mall with you. Yeah, we'll hold your hand and buy your ice cream and all of that. But trust me, ladies, that is not in a man's thing to do. We only do it because it makes you happy, so that it's setting up something for later on. I promise you, I'm telling you what I know. I'm not saying this is true for all men, but I say 99.99.99% of us, that's what it's about. a man don't care anything about all of that stuff. that ladies care about. I told you we different. So men, when they're investing, sometimes most men, when they're investing, they will go into areas they have no business. I was listening to Apostle. I was listening to. Let me throw this in real quick. I was listening to a guy on YouTube, and he was talking about he had fell in love with a clean sinner. She was a clean sinner. She was nice to him, you know. She wasn't trying to do anything, and all this and that and the third. And he said that one day, you know, he called her, and she didn't answer the phone. You know, they were supposed to meet. She didn't show up. So, you know, the first thing he did when he talked to her, he asked her, "Was she sick? What's wrong with you?" And so she told him that the Lord told her not to mess with him. You know, because she was a distraction to where the Lord was trying to take him. She was his version of a clean sinner. And she told him in that conversation, because if we just keep on going down this road here, we're going to end up, see. And he said, yeah, that's what I'm trying to get to. And this was a preacher. This is a preacher, man of God, saved man of God. What I'm trying to say, man, is that we don't do singleness right. We try to mark singleness from the world's perspective, and we must understand that there's a way that's pleasing to God even in our singleness. It has its advantages. It has its advantages to be single. But what I want to say this as well, singleness can be hard when you first get into it. You know what I mean? Because it depends on some people. Apostle, when they get into out of relationships, and now whether they like it or not, they have to embrace singleness. Some find it easy to embrace singleness by bashing men. That's how they can walk in it better, by saying ain't no men good, and vice versa. Some men embrace singleness, and it makes it hard because now their mindset is there's not any good women left. And we have to understand that singleness may be hard, but it's not. Let me help somebody. Singleness doesn't mean that it's forever either. It doesn't mean that you're going to be there forever. It just means that I have to learn how to deal with some things that I have to deal with. Singleness is not a permanent, punishment. You have to embrace it. You have to understand the call, the charge that's on your life. Singleness, you have to look at it that I am married to God. I'm aware of where I'm at. I'm not angry with anybody. Yeah, he hurt me. Yeah, she hurt me. But I'm going to deal with this pain. I'm going to deal with it, and I'm going to give it to God so that he can help me stand and be all that I'm supposed to be. See, we messed this up, man. We don't teach our single people anymore what it is to be single. Sometimes joining yourself to those single clubs, those single groups, those single, you know, single Bible studies and all that kind of stuff, you're going to sleep with somebody right going through Bible study. I'm just trying to be real and just trying to help somebody. You think that because you in Bible study, you ain't going to be attracted to someone? You think that because you read the word that silence your desires and your feelings and all of those things? That's why, let me, that's a good place to throw this in here. I was reading earlier. It's a good place to throw this in here, man. Being single, you must have an offense. And you must have a defense you have to know how, can I use this expression? Clint Eastwood said you got to know how to hold them. You got to know
when to fold
them. Know when to fold them, know when to walk away. Amen. And know when you need to run. You have to have a spiritual offense. You got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, when to walk away, and when to run. I have been in situations in singleness, and I'm just telling y'all, I'm transparent. I have been in situations in singleness where I'm on my way to the young lady's house, and because I'm a man of God, I'm a babe in Christ, but I'm still calling myself man of God. I'm on my way to the house praying that the Lord, you know, don't let us do this, Lord. Don't let us do this. Because I didn't have sense enough just turn my car off and go back in the house. You know, I thought something miraculous, you know, hand was going to come out of a cloud and turn my car around, you know, and I wake up, in my bed. It don't work like that. It does not work like that. I've had, listen, how are you going to do right with a do wrong mind? you can't do right with a do wrong mind. If you find yourself in somebody's house 1 o'clock in the morning, you know, unbuckling your belt buckle and praying, you already went too far. you went too far already. So learning how to walk in singleness, have a spiritual offense. That's the best way I can describe. Know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, know when to run. You have to have all of those things in place, and you need a defense. You need a defense. You know, you have to set the bar early. Listen, young man, we go to bed around these parts around 9. You know what I mean? Because they told me when I was in the world, you know, Blast, I hope I ain't messing up your platform, man. But they told me when I was in the world, any call after 12 o'clock, that was a booty call. That was, you know, that's what that was. Hey. It had no good intent on it. Anybody with any sense does not call anyone at that time of night. So we need good defense. When we talk about being single, you need a good offense, how you carry yourself, how you going to navigate this plan, how you going to walk around, how you going to be, what your conversation going to sound like, you understand, what your display is going to look like, because all of that's important. You cannot call yourself a woman of God and have all your stuff hanging out. You can't call yourself a man of God, and the woman can't even get out the parking lot at the church for buzzards just flying around, just, you know, pissing, you know, and all of that stuff. She can't even get to the house of God good without being disrupted. So you have to know, women and men of God, you got to know how to navigate, what it's going to look like, how you're going to carry it, how you're going to defense some of this stuff that's coming at you. Because you might meet someone and y'all both on the same page, but there is a such thing as weak moments. So you need to be centered around a good, if you're going to be in a single group, be in a group that's trying to live for God. And also, while you're in that, get yourself in a marriage group. It don't matter because you're single. You can learn a few things from some of us who's been doing this for 20 years like I have. You know, we got some stories to tell you. We got some things to tell you to watch out for. You know, my wife tell me from time to time now, stay away from over there. She ain't that one there don't mean you no good. And I be oblivious of Blast. I be oblivious. I don't know half the time what she talking about. But I take my wife at her word. You understand? I don't get in no arm, man. You tripping, man. Ain't nobody want me. No. Yep. She see what she see. And just like I know when she around certain kind of men who already don't check out, who already waiting on me to walk away, who already want me to go start the car and all of that, man. I know it. I see it. I'm aware. So we need to know how to navigate this thing called singleness, man. And it is not to be taken lightly. We just don't deal with it good, I believe, in the body of Christ, because we've gotten so committed to you know, especially the older generation, man. And I'm not trying to pick on anyone, but especially the older generation, they won't give it to you like you need to get it and receive it. You know, they'll tell you, you know, when you're struggling, baby, just pray. Excuse me, Rhea. Pray.
Take a cold shower.
Hey, take a cold shower. I'm so hot and sweaty, I'm going to turn the cold water hot. You know what I'm saying? Whole bathroom steamed up. Cause I'm so flustered and frustrated, man. So you need proper application, not just for being single, but also being married, man. Because I've had many obstacles and many struggles doing this marriage thing, man. I've done it good. I'm doing it better now. But in early marriage, man, I struggled a lot because there was no, I mean, I remember going to a church, man, and it was about five or six deacons out there, man. And between them, they had about 200 years of experience of marriage standing right there in front of me. And I told them, man, this is a true story, Apostle Blaster Game. I told them that all night, cause they seen I was in a funk. And one of the deacons asked me in the huddle, he said, what's going on with you? I said, man, all night. I'm told, true story. All night, I was looking at my past relationship. All night, I looked at her and thought of ways to kill her. That's how toxic that relationship was. I was plotting all night long. And the only reason I probably didn't, man, because I was scared. You know what I mean? I couldn't come up with a plan of how I would get away. It's the only thing that probably kept me that night, besides the Lord having, you know, his angels around me, man. But I'm just saying, I went there and I told those brothers that with tears in my eyes. And they told me, brother, you just got to pray. You know? And so what that made me feel like I was unique. You know, like they ain't never felt like doing harm to nobody. I thought that I was unique. I was the only one that felt like that. You know what I'm saying? And here you are sitting in front of all these people with all of this experience that can give you some sound advice. Just some maybe just to say, hey, bro, I don't been there too would have been a great help. You know what I mean? So it don't make me feel like I'm on an island all by myself. You know, and just because, oh, God, thank you, Jesus. Just because you had sex with him or you had sex with her don't mean that you're supposed to be married to him. Marriage is not going to fix the mistake. I'm just trying to come down this road that all these old fables and myths that the old church fed us, you know, well, you know, y'all.
You did the do,
now you might as well go on and get married. No, you might as well repent and get back
to
doing the things of God. You know, you don't have to marry somebody because you made a mistake. You have to marry somebody because you made a mistake and you got a baby. You don't have to do that. I just heard a youngin' tell me the other day, well, you know, the fella is never around. He's always missing. She raising kids by herself. You know, and she said, well, you know, that is the father of my children. Well, so what? So what? That's the father of your children. He'll still be the father of your children with you being somewhere else. But we don't teach it, man. We just feel like we just got to go through and take it all on the chin or just pray. And you know, that's not true. The best thing you can do is when you make a mistake is repent. Go to the Lord in prayer, get up, and get back at his business. Being single is a gift. It is a gift. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 7, he also says this, brethren, I speak this by commission and not by command. I wish that every man could contain himself like I have. He said, but yes. If you cannot contain yourself, then it's better to marry than to burn. It's better to marry than to have sex and sin. It's better to marry than to get all horny and worked up and to where it's going to cause you to disgrace yourself and God. But now when he says that, brethren, I desire that, that it is better for a man to marry than to burn, he's talking about the gift of singleness. When he said, I speak this by commission and not by commandment, I wish that every man could be like I am. Paul was single. He wasn't looking for a wife, didn't want a wife. He was just trying to do the work of the Lord. It's a gift to be able to be single, and it is also a gift to be married. But you have to know the gift that you are called to walk in. You know it. You stop it, y'all. Stop it now. I hear y'all on this broadcast. I hear you right now. You know that you type that probably need to be married. You know. You know that you probably the type that need a husband, because you're not going to stop fornicating. You're not going to stop, you know, whatever goes against the rules of singleness. You just not willing to do that. You know, so you like me. See, y'all like me. I thank God for Sister Sheely, because I don't believe I can sustain myself in singleness. I just don't believe I could, you know. So therefore, you know, I know that it is good for me to be married. Some people know that it is good for them to be single. I said this on Wednesday night, and I said it again tonight, a repeat. I love this man of God who's hosting this show, Apostle Blasted Gay, because he has taught me that you can walk in singleness. You can walk in singleness. You know, you can do it, and it is a gift, and it's not a curse. My brother, man, is one of the most happiest men I know. You know, one of the most funniest men I know. We laugh, we joke, we pray, we talk, we meet, we hang out, and I have never seen anything less than a man of God from him in his singleness. In his singleness. I've been in situations where, you know, he came out clean. I don't think if I could have, if I was single like him. See, because a lot of us think that when we're single, everything that blinks at us, we're supposed to be responding. Everything that you know, makes a move at us, we're supposed to be responding. But this man of God has taught me that it is possible to walk in singleness, because I've seen people blinking. I've seen people making advances. I've seen waitresses trying to make moves when we're out to dinner and all that. But I've seen also a person who knows how to carry themselves in the gift of singleness. Now, if y'all want to know how to do the single thing, you call Blasting Game. If you want to know how to do the married thing, call Sheila. I know the gift that God has placed on my life. It is a gift. It is a gift, and I know I'm talking good, because every time somebody make a move at us, wink, blink, well, I want to pay for your grocery. I want to do, you know, when they do all that kind of stuff, now we all caught up. We all caught up because he supersized your prize on the date. You know, now you're all caught up, you know. So we have to understand it is a blessing to be single and live in it, walk in it, embrace it. You know, go through the hard night, the lonely nights, the fearful nights. You know, some of y'all might be older now, and you know, they call it the biological clock is ticking. You know, I can't be like this always. I got to get me a wife. I got to get me a husband. I got to hurry up, because, you know, I'm in my 40s now. You know what I mean? I'm losing my girlish charm. You know, you don't have to do that, because the Bible also says this: he who findeth himself a wife findeth a good thing and obtain favor from the Lord. You just keep being the wife. You just keep building up your wifely qualities. You keep on doing, behaving like a wife. You know what I mean? Preparing your house like a wife. See, although she's single, she has wifely qualities. And God is getting ready to send he your way. But we have to learn how to wait on the Lord to do it. We can't come up with a plan how God is going to bless us. We can't. I know you got 4 kids. I know you don't went through a whole lot. I know you got 6 kids. You don't been through a whole lot. But the Bible says, "He who findeth himself a wife, there's a he." Don't tell me it don't happen, because when I was pastoring in Maryland, there was a man who came to our church, married a woman who had 9 babies, and took care of every one of them and her. He married her, had 9 babies. Everybody told him, when he was telling me this, everybody was telling him, "Man, leave that girl alone, man. That girl got 9 babies. That's 9? 2 times 9 is 18. I don't know how many pair of sneakers that is. You know, I don't know how many Happy Meals that is. But that's a lot. But what I'm trying to tell you is, when you learn how to wait on God in your singleness, he'll send the he who findeth himself a wife. He'll send it. You know, it don't matter what your baggage or what you claim to be baggage, no matter how many kids you have, no matter how many times people tell you, you're not this, you're not that, you're overweight, you this and you that and the third, it does not matter. It does not matter. When God gets ready to send him your way, he's coming your way. You just got to be where you need to be in doing your part. See, what we do is we hop out of one thing into another, into another, into another, into another, man, and we never take time to heal. Okay, I'm single now. I'm just going to sit in this until all of this breaks off of me. But no, what we want them to be, Blaster Game, I want her to be my psychologist, and she want him to be her sociologist. They bring all this stuff like people. It's not fair to bring all of that garbage to someone else to fix. You know, I did that to my wife when I met her, because I had so many issues going on. If you held my life up, it probably looked like a piece of Swiss cheese. Had all them holes in my character.
Amen.
All the holes. But it was too much to ask her to plug or repair all of those holes. That was a job for God. And so one of my testimonies is that she's not only my first wife, but she's my second wife as well. You know, because we broke up and got divorced. And I believe that it was because God needed to work on me, and he also needed to work on her as well. And he couldn't work on both of us together because we were getting in God's way. You know, we did some things really well, but we did some things really horrible. And y'all know what it is that we did well. That flesh stuff.
Man.
We did flesh real good. But we couldn't come together spiritually to save our lives. So God had to break that up. And when he did so, he worked on me and he worked on us. And he saw fit for us to get back together. And I have a praise report when God does it. Because 20 years running now, men and women of God, we have not been in an argument. I didn't say we didn't disagree. But I said we have not been in those arguments where some doors are slamming and holes are being punched in the wall. And I shared that, and I'm going to give it back to you, Apostle. I shared that with someone, and they told me, "Say, man, something wrong. If that woman ain't arguing with you, she getting ready to leave you. Something wrong. You got to have arguments in a relationship." And I looked at him. I said, "Hey, man," I said, "you mean to tell me that's how crazy it's done got, that you really believe in order to have a healthy relationship that there must be some fussing going on, there must be some distrust going on? That's how far away we have gotten from the word, man. He came to give us peace. The Bible says the kind of peace that surpasses all understanding. Don't know why I'm so peaceful, but I am, and I walk in it." So let me leave you with this as I give it back to my brother from another mother. Let me give it to you like this. The one thing you can do, one thing we can do that we don't do enough is ask God, what is his purpose for me? What is your purpose for me, Lord? Am I marriage material right now? Am I somebody that somebody would want to be with? See, because what we do is that unequally yoked thing, man. I mean, this got so many layers, Apostle. I could talk on this all night. That unequally yoked thing is serious. I just dedicated some children on a few Sundays ago, and giving them back to God. And I told the godparents, I told the parents to make sure they told the godparents and make sure that they pick godly godparents, because you don't want your child coming up in your house knowing about the fear and admonition of God, and then when you send them over to the godparents' house, they doing the stanky lane. Unequally yoked. See, he might look good, but he don't have any God qualities. She might look good, but she don't have any God qualities. What is my purpose, God? What do you have for me? Because I don't know. I just don't know. But I do know this. Being single is a gift from God. Go ahead, brother. I love you, man. Thank you for the opportunity.
I love you. God bless. I've enjoyed everything that you poured out there, bro. You was dead on point. As you were ministering, there's just so many different things that came to mind and come to play. I have to give God, as you were saying, I have to give him all the honor and all the glory for me being able to walk in singleness. I really can't just take the credit by myself. I have not been perfect in it. I was married, and during that time that I was married, I was faithful to God. I was faithful to my ex-wife at that time, divorce did come, and when it did come, the first thing I realized, I was talking to my mom, was that I had to learn how to love myself. I did not know how to love myself. But during that time period, I learned how to love myself. I had been going through anxiety attacks. I'd been going through depression. They had put me on all kind of medicine. I had a heart murmur, holding my heart. That's when I really found God, and I began to seek the face of God. So during that particular time, I was seeking God to get, I was seeking God to live. I was like at the point, almost like at the point of death. So I was really just seeking God to live,
My God.
Bless God, bumper wife. I got the person to leave. So I,
right.
My wife was not even on. It was not even on my mind, and I think that may have been one of the things that God used. I guess I don't know to preoccupy my mind to keep me out of foolishness and out of devilment or whatever. But I remember leaving a particular church. Let me back up, because I was. Saints do stigmatize singleness too, because after the Lord began to heal me and start training me and put me into ministry, there were certain people of the church didn't want me to minister because I had been divorced.
That's right.
They wanted to stigmatize you and say, well, God didn't call you to preach because you've been married. I got put away. I didn't put her away. I got put away. And because the scripture says if a brother or sister have been put away, then, God has called them to peace. So I had been called to peace. And so I went through a segment where, I had to go through a little mind battle with that. And then God did date someone else who was actually saved. Now, when I was married, I was in the church, but the church wasn't in me. And the church wasn't in my ex-wife. I knew about God, but didn't really know God. So a lot of times, talking to singles, when they're talking about marriage, I always kind of bring up the point You know, you do know that marriage is ordained by God. And Okay.
Right.
Well, in order to function in something that God has ordained, you got to know God. If you don't know God, how are you going to function in something that God has ordained?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I always try to bring it up front. But, there was a lot of things that I kind of started jotting down because when as you was talking, because, you know, like you say, we do. We go out, we have a good time, and I have this one fellow who's real close to me. Now, he don't claim to be saved, you know, but the guy is genuine. I mean, I've seen him do some stuff that a lot of Christians won't do.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know, you subject to get cussed out. You're crossing the wrong way. But he's a very good friend of mine. He's been very loyal to me for years. We've been for years. But there's been times mm-hmm. that he and I would go out, and he would say, he would see certain people hit or throw certain little bones out there at me or whatever, and he'd look and he'd just shake, you know, he'd shake his head, you know, because he was married. And he'd tell me, he said, boy, you ain't married. He said, boy, if I had your hand, I'd be like, got into some trouble. And I look at him and I say, the thing that you brought up, I look at him, I say, you know what? He said, what? I said, I'm more married than you are. I might be single, but
right.
I'm more married than
right.
you are.
That's
I said,
right.
I'm married
right.
to the Lord. And I said,
mm-hmm.
the thing about that is that I don't have to wait to get home and let my partner know by them smelling Chanel number 3, 4, 5, or 6 that I've been with somebody I ain't had no business being with.
Yes, sir.
I say, my partner going to know the instant my heart turned the wrong way
mm-hmm.
to do something mm-hmm. I ain't got no business doing. You know, he's going to start dealing. He's going to start checking. He's going to do some stuff to let me know, hey, you out of bounds, man. What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
So, that's a part of it. I just have to thank God for, you know, how he has kept me doing this thing and singleness some of the other stuff that I told you where I messed up, and he would come and give me supernatural visitations and chasing
mm-hmm.
those whom he loved. That definitely kept me in line. I mean, you know, you get the hit on, and sometimes you might even throw a bone back, but the same thing, at the same time, you know what not
mm-hmm.
to cross. There's a certain
mm-hmm.
line you know not to cross. There's a certain line not to cross. But, you know, you just tore up so much that, you know, I have experienced. Like you said, you know, you don't argue with yourself when you want to go to Red Lobster. You know, I look at myself, I say, I feel like Popeyes today. And me say, me too. And we go to Popeyes, you know. And there's no
right,
argument.
That's
right. I had another friend who was single, and he would always say stuff like, well, you know what? When I eat, my family eat. Their family takes care of them. That's about one mouth that,
yes,
that he had to,
yes,
he had to take care of, you know. But
that's
another
good
thing is that as men, we have to prepare ourselves for marriage. I remember one time there was this guy I was counseling, and I told him one time, I said, listen, man, he was getting ready to get married. I said, listen, I'm going to wrap this up real quick because I only have a few minutes. I said, listen, I'll be over at the house today, later on there. He said, okay. Well, I get to his house. I get around and knock on the door, and he's got an eviction notice on the door. Bam. I said, wait a minute. So I take it off the door. I give it to him when they come inside. I said, listen, man, let me ask you a question. He said, what's that? I said, listen, I already know that there's going to be, you know, there's going to be bills. There's always going to be some
mm-hmm.
bills, you know. I said, but let me ask you something. He said, what's that? I said, do you think or do you believe that if you ask her to wait 1 year so that you can get your head above water, I said, you may not always come out of it.
My God.
Above water,
my God.
But at least get, you know, nose level. You know, get some of the things out of the way, nose level. You know,
right.
so you know, before y'all get married, because I'm telling you, them bills will bring, they'll put a strain on marriage.
Yeah. Yes,
he
sir.
Said, yeah, I believe she'll wait. He said, I believe she'll wait. She'll wait. I said, well, I'm advising you to go to her and talk and see if she'll do that. He said, I don't want to. I said, huh? Because she might not want to wait. I said, but you said you believe she would? I don't want to. I said, okay, all right. So as time went on, he invited me to the wedding. I got to the wedding. They got married. They had two beautiful kids. And eventually it fell apart. Boom. And he called me up out of the clear blue. He said, man, you know what? I said, what? He said, God himself even confirmed what you said while he was standing at the altar with the woman. He said, you heard God praying this day, don't marry her. And he did it anyway. And it fell apart. And I'm leaving a whole lot out of that, but a lot of it comes because you got that outside pressure looking in, and you're trying to prove a point that you're ready. I have been single for long enough. I don't know how long, but I ain't even trying to count it up. But
you know, don't count.
It's something that God had to do or had to do towards the heart. Mm-hmm. Because I guess a couple of years ago, I was at a church, and I have another apostle friend. I refer to her as Big Sis too. She called me on one time. She began to prophesy to me. She said, God says that, you know, you're in a place now to where he's opened your heart and you're ready for it now. And he's talking about marriage and everything. And I'm like, oh, well, you know, God, I've been single for so long now. but so then it becomes a thing where, you know, you have to readjust. You have to give him time to help readjust, because like you say, you're not single anymore. You have to go in that thing as one, being willing to compromise, being willing to listen. So with that, I'm going to come to a close. A man of God, apostle, my friend, my brother from another mother, we thank you for showing up. We thank you for how
God used
you. Bro, I'm quite sure the Lord's willing we'll do it again. We thank God for how God has moved. And Kimmy Kim, to God be the glory. We bless your name. We bless his name. We bless you, too. And all we can say is Kimmy Kim, thanks again. Take us out, please. God bless.
Bless
you. So, normally, we do it like this. If you do anything, do it in decency and do it in order. But for most of all, do it for his glory. Now, if there's someone who has listened to this broadcast, you've heard what was said, you do not know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, but you would like to know him as your personal Lord and Savior, you can find me on Facebook. You can find my brother on Facebook, Charles Sheely Jr. You can find me on Facebook, Brian Blassingame. You can get me on Snapchat and Instagram. I believe Big Brother's on Instagram too. But if you would like to get saved, you have not been saved, just repeat after me. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. I believe that you gave your only begotten Son that whosoever should believe on him will have eternal life. I believe this with my heart, and I confess it with my mouth. You said if I did so, I shall be saved. I believe that he died on the cross. I believe that on the third day you raised him from the dead with all power in his hand. I believe that he's sitting on the right hand of the Father making intercession for the saints. And I believe this with my heart. I confess it with my mouth. In Jesus' name, make me a new creature. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if you said that prayer, you can reach us. If you need prayer, if you need somebody to fellowship with, if you have some questions, hit us up, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat. We'll be glad to get with you. We'll be glad to minister to you. We'll be glad to pray for you. There may be some churches we can lead you to in certain areas. If not, hey, anyway, we're here.
Yes, sir.
Until next time, like I said before, whatever you do, do it in decency and in order. but most of all, do it for his glory. Kimmy Kim, we love you. Thank you. We went over tonight, but to God be the glory. Take us out. We love you. God bless. Amen.
Amen.
Good friends, Shelly Murdoch.